الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the Rasul Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بل هم في شك يلعبون، فارتقب يوم تأتي السماء بدخان مبين، يغشى الناس، هذا عذاب أليم. ربنا اكشف عنا العذاب إنا مؤمنون. أنى لهم الذكرى وقد جاءهم رسول مبين. ثم تولوا عنه وقالوا معلم مجنون. إنا كاشف العذاب قليلا إنكم عائدون. يوم نبطش البطشة الكبرى إنا منتقمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. In the previous verses of Surah Ad-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was inviting the mushrikeen of Makkatul Mukarrama towards accepting the message of Tawheed, of believing in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also indicated towards the fact that He is the Rabb, the owner of every space, of every moment, and likewise of every revolution which takes place in the entire universe. But despite in so many places in the glorious Quran, these realities have been mentioned with many different proofs, the disbelievers and the mushrikeen, due to their pride, due to their arrogance, due to their stubbornness, they were not willing to listen to and accept these messages which were being conveyed to them by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that balhum fi shak, balhum fi shakki yal'abun, that however they, meaning the mushrikeen of Makkatul Mukarrama, they are enjoying themselves in their doubts. Meaning that when a person, he doesn't believe in the hereafter, and he doesn't believe that there is going to be a life after death, then he will not worry about searching for the truth. And rather he will spend his life and his time in futile activities. in enjoyment, in play. So in the same way, these mushrikeen and these disbelievers, they are also simply enjoying life instead of worrying with regards to what will happen in the afterlife. And O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite of your great concern for them, that how you can convey this message of Tawheed and bring them in the fold of Islam, these people, due to their stubbornness and due to their arrogance, they have become so evil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now sealed their hearts, and hidayah and guidance is something which they are no longer going to receive. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these realities in other places in the Quran, that قَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah ta'ala has now sealed their hearts. وَعَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِمْ, and their ears. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ, and there is a curtain, a veil upon their eyes. So they cannot now understand the truth, they cannot now listen to the truth, they cannot now see the truth. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا, they have hearts with which they cannot understand the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا, they have eyes with which they cannot see the truth. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, they have ears with which they cannot listen to the truth. So Allah Ta'ala here is consoling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ, Allah Ta'ala says that it's possible that you will destroy your own life. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ, because of your worry and your grief and your concern that why are these people not accepting the message of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further mentions that instead of worrying too much about these people, فَرْتَقِبْ, rather you should wait and you should anticipate, يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ, the day when the sky will issue forth a manifest smoke. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with regards to a punishment which He is going to send down upon the disbelievers. And there are two opinions with regards to, or in fact three opinions with regards to what this verse refers to. One opinion is that it refers to the occasion of the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah. But Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala has rejected this view. So thereafter we are now left with two opinions. One is the opinion of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, and the second is the opinion of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And both of them were profound and prolific when it came to the knowledge of deen. In fact, from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a terminology amongst the ulama, abadilaya arba'a, the four Abdullahs. In other words, those four sahaba, all of whom their name was Abdullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted each and every one of them a great amount of knowledge with regards to the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma. So from amongst them, Over here, we find one is the opinion of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And that opinion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning with regards to an azab and a punishment which will descend prior to Qiyamah. So when Allah ta'ala here says that فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ, that wait for the day when the sky will issue forth a manifest smoke. A smoke which will be very clear, which each and every person will be able to see with his eye. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that this refers to a punishment which is going to descend just before Qiyamah. From the many signs of Qiyamah, we find in the ahadith that this will also be one of the signs. And from the hadith, we understand that this smoke will be something which each and every person will be able to see wherever they are in the world. But there will be two types of people. There will be the mu'minun and the believers. When they see the smoke, the effect of the smoke will be such that it will be as if they are suffering from a flu or a cold. In other words, the effect will be very light and very mild for the mu'minun and the believers. It's just like we had the COVID virus. So some people would have mild symptoms. And for some people, it was extremely severe to this extent that it took their life also. So for the believers, the symptoms will be very mild, like a normal cold, like a normal flu. They will not be affected greatly by the smoke. But as far as the disbelievers are concerned, for them this will be an azab and a punishment. So this smoke, it will enter into their bodies. And after entering into their bodies, it will start coming out from their bodies also. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that Allah ta'ala here is speaking about this punishment, which will also be a sign of Qiyamah, which is going to take place prior to Qiyamah, towards the end of time. But Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions that although that is correct, that is going to happen before Qiyamah, but in this verse of Surah Ad-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not referring to that incident. In here, in Surah Ad-Dukhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to a punishment which took place during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this takes us to a very captivating incident which took place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you find in the books of Seerah, in the books of history, as well as Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi has narrated the narration in multiple places in his Sahih, which is regarding the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, at the onset, when the incident begins, he is not a Muslim. And Thumama ibn Uthal, he was the leader of a tribe by the name of Banu Hanifa, who used to reside in a place called Yamama. Yamama was on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah. And Yamama was that place which was the main supply chain of food for the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. So either the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, when they were in need of food, when they were in need of more resources, more provisions, they would go to Yamama. This is where there was the grand souk. They would purchase whatever items they required, and thereafter they would return to Makkatul Mukarramah. Or sometimes the people from Yamama would come to Makkatul Mukarramah, and thereafter they would sell their items to the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. In whichever case, Yamama, this was imperative and extremely important for the people of Makkatul Mukarramah to live in this world, because this is where they were getting the food from. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, even after the migration, the disbelievers, they continued to oppress the Muslims. And they tried to cause them as much inconvenience as possible. And this took such a toll upon the Muslims that on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua against the disbelievers. And the dua was, Allahumma alayhim sab'an ka sab'i Yusuf. That, O Allah, inflict upon them 7 years of famine, just as you inflicted 7 years of famine upon the people during the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Those who are familiar with the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam will know that the king saw a dream. Yusuf alayhi salam was wrongly imprisoned. He was in prison. And one of the individuals informed the king that there is a person in prison by the name of Yusuf who can interpret dreams. Because when the king asked the dream to all of his people, none of them could interpret the dream. إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ إِجَافٌ وَسَبْعَ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُدْرِ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ. So in that, the conclusion is that Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was summoned by the king, Yusuf alayhi salam, not only did he interpret the dream, rather the ulama mentioned that he gave the ta'bir, he gave the interpretation of the dream. He also gave tabshir, glad tidings, that after 7 years, the famine will come to an end. And he also gave ta'bir. He also gave the king a plan, that what plan should you execute. So anyway, that discussion is for Surah Yusuf. But the point is that during the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's time, there was a famine which lasted for 7 years. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made this dua against the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarramah, that, O Allah, inflict upon them 7 years of famine, just as you inflicted 7 years of famine upon the people during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. This dua was accepted by Allah Ta'ala. Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu anhu, he was on his way to Makkatul Mukarramah to perform Umrah. As a disbeliever, but even the disbelievers used to go to the Kaaba and worship and would perform whatever rituals they wanted to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out an army towards Najd. These Sahaba, they managed to capture Thumama ibn Uthal. They brought him back to Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked them that, do you even know who you have brought back? They had no idea who he was. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed them that he is the leader of the tribe of Banu Hanifa, a very influential individual. Tie him against the pillar in Masjid al-Nabawi. Now he's tied against the pillar in Masjid al-Nabawi. The Sahaba, they continue with their daily routine and their normal lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would send food and milk for Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu from his own house. And for 24 hours, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say anything to him. Everybody just continued as normal. He was a prisoner in Masjid al-Nabawi. After 24 hours, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu anhu whilst he was going to the musalla to lead the next salah. And he said, Ma indaka ya Thumamatu. That, O Thumama, what do you have to present before us? What's crossing your mind? Do you want to seek forgiveness? Do you want to ask us to release you? Is there anything else which is going through your mind at this moment in time? So Thumama ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied that, Indi khair, that I possess goodness. There is goodness which is crossing my mind. In taqtul, taqtul dha damin. Wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakirin. He said that if you were to kill me, if you were to take my life, then you would kill an individual who is dhu dam. The muhaddithin have mentioned two interpretations for this. Number one is that if you kill me, you will kill that person who is worthy of being killed. Meaning, I have committed so many crimes against the Muslims that you have every right to take my life. So, in taqtul taqtul zadamin. And the second meaning is that if you were to kill me, you will kill a person of blood, which means that I am not just any ordinary individual. If you kill me, my people will come and retaliate and take revenge. وَإِن تُنْئِمْ تُنْئِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. But if you were to confer a favor upon me, meaning if you were to release me, then you will be conferring a favor upon a person who will remember this favor and who will be grateful upon this favor. Meaning that after you release me and I return back to my people, I will ensure that there is no hostility between us and the non-Muslims. And we will not fight against you also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply heard this. This was the only conversation. He went, he led the salah, and he continued. After 24 hours, he returned and the same thing happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the same question, that ma indaka ya thumamatu. Thumama replied with the same words, in taqtul taqtul zadamin wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakirin. Another 24 hours passed, and again the same thing happened. So basically for 3 days, this was the only conversation which took place. After the third day, when the same conversation took place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, atliqu thumama, that release thumama. The thumama was released. He leaves Masjid al-Nabawi, he finds the closest garden, either in Medina Munawwara or on the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And there he performs ghusl. He takes a bath. And after taking the ghusl and the bath, he returns back to Masjid al-Nabawi and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He reads the kalima. He embraces Islam. And thereafter he says that, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wallahi, ma kana ala al-ardi wajhun abghadu ilayya min wajhika. That by the qasam of Allah Ta'ala, there was not a face upon the face of this earth which was more a face with which I had more hatred for than your face. فَقَدْ أَصْبَحَ وَجْهُكَ أَحَبَّ الْوُجُوهِ إِلَيَّ. But now your face has become the most beloved face to me. And wallahi مَا كَانَ مِنْ دِينٍ. There was no religion. أَبْغَدُ الدِّينِ. That there was no religion which was more, I found more hatred for than your deen. But now, this deen of yours has become the most beloved deen to me. And there was no city for which I had more hatred for than your city. But now your city has become the most beloved city to me. Now, upon this, one point we understand is that there is a false propaganda which is spread, that Islam is spread by the sword. Right from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam was spread by the sword and people were forced to accept Islam. And even today we find in the media this notion where they try and make people believe that people are forced to accept Islam. Whereas throughout the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout the books of seerah, when we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, and then we study every single phase until present time, we will find that the truth is extremely far from this. This is completely false. Because incidents are multiple where we find that a person, he accepted Islam. with no force whatsoever. Even in this incident, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam desired, he could have said to Thumama ibn Uthal that either accept Islam or we are going to kill you. And Thumama ibn Uthal radiallahu anhu also, he was extremely clever, that he didn't accept Islam whilst he was in Masjid al-Nabawi. After being released, he went all the way outside Masjid al-Nabawi, he performed ghusl, and when he was completely free, then he returned back, and then he accepted Islam. So this is clear proof that he accepted Islam willingly, and there was no force. And like this, there are many incidents. And even in present time, if we were to just study that how people are accepting Islam and the numbers of people that are accepting Islam, then in the Western world, where they chant the slogans of freedom, and everyone knows that each person can live a life of freedom, these are the places where the majority are accepting Islam, where there is no force whatsoever. So this is one point to keep in mind, that whoever has accepted Islam, he has never been forced. The Quran says clearly that لا إكراه في الدين. There is no force and compulsion in accepting Islam. Now, when this is the case, then why do people accept Islam? And why did Thumama ibn Uthar radiallahu anhu accept Islam? So again, the answer is very clear, that Islam, it was not spread by the sword, rather it was spread by the sword of good akhlaq and good character. Thumama ibn Uthar radiallahu anhu, he observed for 3 days how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are living their day-to-day life in Madinatul Munawwara. He observed how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is conducting himself. And after receiving firsthand that this is what the concept of true Islam is, he had no choice but to accept this amazing and this beautiful religion. So this is a very powerful lesson for you and I as Muslims, that the best way we can convey the true message of Islam is not through our speeches, is not by writing about Islam, is not by giving someone a book upon Islam, although these are also effective methods, but actions speak louder than words. In these 3 days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not deliver a speech to Thumama ibn Uthal about Islam, nor did he tell the Sahaba to convey any messages. It was the actions. He saw it firsthand with his own eyes that this is Islam. When he saw it with his own eyes, he was in debt. He felt that I have to accept this religion, and he accepted Islam. So Thumama ibn Uthar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. After accepting Islam, then he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that I was actually on my way to performing Umrah before your companions intercepted and I was imprisoned in Masjid al-Nabawi. So now I am asking you, what is your opinion? Should I continue and go and perform Umrah, or should I return home? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him glad tidings and told him that go and perform Umrah. When he goes to perform Umrah and he reaches the Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the news has spread that Thumama ibn Uthal radiallahu anhu has now embraced Islam. So one of the individuals said to him that, Sabawta ya Thumama, O Thumama, you have become a renegade. You have left the religion of your forefathers. And he used this word Sabawta, which is used for a person who becomes a murtad, who leaves the religion. It's not a good word to use. So this person used this word for Thumama, who had accepted Islam. So Thumama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that, La, I have not become a renegade. Walakin aslamtu ma'a Muhammad Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, I have accepted Islam upon the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he further said that because you have mentioned this word sabawta regarding the religion of Islam, then wala wallahi la ya'tikum min al-yamama habbatu hintatin hatta ya'dana fiha an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That now I am going to establish a boycott. No, not even a grain, not even a seed is going to reach Makkah al-Mukarramah. Meaning that very important souk and supply chain which is present in Yamama, which I am the head of, where you receive all your produce from. From today, you are not going to receive even one grain from there. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made the dua that, O Rasul, O Allah, inflict upon them 7 years of famine. And then this incident took place. Obviously, Allah ta'ala controls everything. So the dua takes place, this incident takes place. As a result, there's a famine, there's no rain also, there's no food growing or no crops growing on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarrama. And the main supply chain from which food used to come to Makkatul Mukarrama, this has also stopped now. Now, when this happens, due to the severe hunger which the people of Makkatul Mukarrama were now experiencing, when a person, he becomes extremely hungry, then he becomes extremely weak. And when a person becomes extremely weak, he begins to become drowsy. And after he feels drowsy, if he was to look up towards the sky, it will seem to him like there's a smoke. Understand? And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that this ayah is specifically speaking about this particular incident. So because of the famine, there was nothing for them to eat. They would use bones which they would boil in water, and somehow they were trying to survive and stay alive. They became extremely weak, and when they would look up in the sky, it would look like smoke. And likewise, when there's a famine also, the earth and the land becomes extremely dry. And then dust begins to fly up into the air. So when you will look up in the sky, you will be able to see this dust, so it will look like the smoke in the air. So Allah Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ That, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't worry too much about the disbelievers and the mushrikeen. Wait for that day when the sky is going to bring a smoke which is going to be very clear, and they will be able to see it with their own eyes. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions this is talking about the smoke before Qiyamah. But Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that no, this ayah is talking about this smoke and this entire incident which took place when the mushrikeen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made dua against them, and Allah ta'ala inflicted them with this adab and this punishment of the famine, and as a result of this famine, they would see smoke in the air. يَغْشَ النَّاسِ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ That which will, this smoke which will envelope the people, meaning it will affect all the people. So if we're talking about the smoke before Qiyamah, it will affect all the people. The Muslims will be affected very lightly, and the mushrikeen more. And if we're talking about the incident during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then which will affect all the people of Makkatul Mukarrama, all the disbelievers. هَذَا أَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ This is a painful punishment. رَبَّ نَكْشِفْ أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ And when this punishment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down this punishment, then the disbelievers, they will cry and they will say, O our Rabb, اِكْشِفْ أَنَّ الْعَذَابَ Remove this punishment from us, إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ We will surely accept Iman. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that when this famine began and the disbelievers saw that now we are going through very severe times, there is no food and no drink for us, and it's very difficult for us to survive, then they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they began to plead to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that make dua for us. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this famine from us. And together with asking him to make dua, they also ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede on their behalf to Thumama ibn Uthal radiallahu anhu, that this boycott which he's established, he should remove the boycott and he should begin the supply chain back to Makkatul Mukarrama. So in this way, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that in one incident we find that Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who at the time was not yet a Muslim, He came with a group of individuals and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you make dua to Allah and Allah ta'ala removes this adab and this punishment, then we will all embrace Islam. But this is the habit of the disbelievers, which we find throughout the Quran. That whenever they are inflicted by an adab and a punishment, they begin to make false promises. And as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the punishment, then they go back to their normal ways. Even in the incidents during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, even in the previous surah we had discussed that whenever during the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala would send down a punishment, they would come to Musa alayhi salam and say that, ask Allah to remove the punishment, we will accept iman. But as soon as the punishment would be removed, they would go back to their normal ways. لَإِن كَشَفْتَ عَنَّ الرِّجْزَ, they would say that if, لَإِن كَشَفْتَ عَنَّ الرِّجْزَ, if you were to remove this punishment from us, لَإِن كَشَفْتَ عَنَّ الرِّجْزَ لَنُؤْمِنَنَّ لَكَ, we will definitely accept iman. We will definitely believe in you. But فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْزَ, Allah Ta'ala says that when we remove the punishment from them, إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ, then suddenly they began to reject. And regarding the disbelievers, Allah Ta'ala in another place mentions that فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ, when they are traveling by ship and they see that the waves are now getting very severe and the ship could sink in the water, our lives could be at risk, then دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they begin to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great sincerity. And they make all sorts of promises. A person is in the aeroplane and he sees there's turbulence and anything could happen now. He begins to make dua to Allah and he'll make every promise in the world. I'll never sin again. Oh Allah, please save me. But as soon as the plane goes back to normal, then that very movie he was watching 2 minutes ago, he starts to watch it again. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. And this is something we may be laughing at, but this is, we are making fun with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not someone that you make fun with. So Allah ta'ala is mentioning in the Quran that this is the habit of the disbelievers. If you and I also have these sort of habits, that every time something happens in our life, then we begin to run to the masjid and we stop performing our salah and we stop sinning. But as soon as everything goes back to normal, then we go back to our normal life also. And this is not how a person should mess around with Allah Ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you're going to mess around like this, then I'm going to send down the real adab and the real punishment. And at that time, there'll be no turning back then. So, what does Allah Ta'ala say? فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, that in the ship, they begin to make dua to Allah. That لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْتَنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ, oh Allah, if you were to grant us safety from this, then we will become from the grateful servants of yours. But فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, as soon as we give them safety and they reach the land, they start going back to the shirk. So this is their habit. And this habit of the disbelievers is not only a habit in this world. This habit of theirs will be at the time of death also, will be on the day of Qiyamah also, and will be in Jahannam also. At the time of death also, they will say, رَبِّ رِجِعُونَ, that, oh Allah, return us back into the world. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, so that we may do good deeds. But Allah Ta'ala will say, كَلَّا, no more chances now. No more chances. أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولْ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. At the time of death, they will say that, oh Allah, just give us some life so that فَأَصَّدَّكَ, we can do some charity. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and we can become from the pious people. But Allah Ta'ala will say, وَلَا يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. Once the time of death has come for a person, Allah is never going to delay this time of death now. Now there's no second chance. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ, if only you are able to see that scene of the mujrimun, the criminals and the sinners. نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ, when they will be lowered, when their heads will be lowered in front of their Allah. And they will say, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِئْنَا فَرَجِئْنَا نَأْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ, that, oh our Rabb, now we've seen everything with our eyes. Now we believe that there is a life hereafter. So just give us one more chance. We'll go in the world and we'll do good deeds. But Allah Ta'ala will say, no, no more chances. وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ, if you were to see that scene when they are on the edge of Jahannam, just about to be thrown into Jahannam, what will they say? يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ, if only we were given another chance and returned back in the world. وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We won't be from the disbelievers. We'll become from the mu'minun and the believers. Allah Ta'ala will say, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَانُهُ عَنْهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That if I was to return to you back in the world, you'll do the same thing again. So at the time of death, on the day of Qiyamah, in Jahannam, this will be the habit also. But there, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is not going to give them a second chance. But in this world, even though Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows that this is the habit, that as soon as we open up the ways for them, they're going to go back to the normal ways. But in order to establish proof that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala can say that, look, we gave you chances, but you still never took your chances. And you still went back. And you're the ones who ask that, oh Allah, give us a chance. Remove this affliction from us. We will go back and we will begin to worship you. So in order to establish this proof, despite Allah Ta'ala knowing that no matter what sign I send, they are not going to accept Iman. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in this world, when they plea and when they ask, Allah Ta'ala does remove the afflictions and punishments from them. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that when we will send down this punishment of the smoke, even on that occasion, they will make dua and they will say that, oh, our Rabb, remove this punishment from us and we will surely accept Iman. So Allah Ta'ala says, "Anna lahumu dhikra." From where can they now have advice? Meaning, how will they now accept Islam? وَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مُّبِينٌ. When a manifest Rasul, a clear Rasul, messenger, has already come to them. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that, do you really think they are going to accept Iman due to some smoke? Due to some earthquake? Due to some tsunami? Due to some floods? Because in all of these things, they can make many excuses, as the people do. When there is an earthquake, this should have been an eye-opener, that this is the azab of Allah Ta'ala, let's stop sinning. But what do people do? They come out with their scientific theories. And they will present all their scientific theories that earthquakes happen because of these scientific reasons. It's not an azab and a punishment of Allah. A virus takes place. Instead of thinking to yourself that this is a punishment from Allah Ta'ala, let me change my ways, use this as an opportunity. No, it's a medical thing. So this is how the disbelievers work. That instead of thinking that this is an opportunity for me to change my ways, they will make excuses. Allah Ta'ala is saying that if they can make excuses regarding something where they should never have made excuses. And what was that? وَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مُّبِينٌ. A manifest Rasul has already come to them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to them. Just his presence, just looking at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should have been sufficient proof that this is the Prophet of Allah and whatever he says can only be the truth. This is why when Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala and who was waiting for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to arrive in Medina Munawwara on the occasion of Hijrah, then he says that I had studied the books of the Jews. He was a great alim of the Jewish religion. So he had studied the Jewish book. So he said, I had seen all the different signs of the final prophet. He said, I was waiting that I want to carry out a comparison study as to what I have read in the Jewish book and how this man looks. Do the two match? So I was waiting. But he says, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into Madinatul Munawwara and my eyes fell on him, I placed all of that to one side and I said, this face cannot be the face of a liar. Just looking at his face was sufficient proof that he has to be the Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that this Prophet, just looking at him is sufficient. And then his life, 40 years, for 40 years they were able to observe him. And during these 40 years, what did they say? They themselves gave him the title that you are Amin, you are the trustworthy. You are Siddiq, you are Sadiq, the truthful. Imagine, you give someone the title that you are trustworthy and you are the truthful one. And you've seen him for 40 years. And this was the intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that before conveying the message of Tawheed and Islam to them, at the age of 40, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up, the first question which he asked was that, Hal wajadtumuni? What did he say? He said, Hal wajadtumuni sadiqan aw kadhiba? that you've observed me for 40 years. You know, I've not come from some foreign land. I'm not a stranger. فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِي I've lived amongst you for all these years. Now, I've lived amongst you for 40 years. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you experienced me to be a truthful person or have you experienced me to be a liar? So all of them, in one voice, they replied that جَرَّبْنَاكَ مِرَارًا We experienced so many multiple incidents with you. Incident upon incident upon incident upon incident. Not just one isolated incident. Incidents upon incidents of 40 years. And after these 40 years, what conclusion do we come with? The conclusion is that وَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا We only found truthfulness in you. There's not even one example which we can present before you that on this occasion you lied or there was a slight lie in what you said or what you did. Not even the slightest. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, well then I'm come with a message that accept I am the message, prophet of Allah ta'ala. So straight away they said no. You're a liar. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ They say that this Qur'an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is lying, he has made it up. أَآنَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ Other people, they assist him in making this Qur'an. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look at these people. That such a clear prophet has come, when they were not willing to accept him, do you think they're going to accept this smoke? Is that going to be something that is going to bring them towards Islam? ثُمَّ تَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا مُعَلَّمٌ مَجْنُونَ Rather, when this prophet came, they turned away from him saying that he is mu'allam. He's mu'allam and he's majnoon. He's mu'allam. He's one who has been taught and who has been educated. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mu'allim. He was the educator and he was the tutor and the teacher. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا I have been sent only as a mu'allim, as a teacher. And he had 124,000 students. He made every one of them into a shining star. That when he left this world, he said that if you follow any one of my students, they are so prolific and profound that they will lead you to Jannah and Paradise. You will not find a single teacher in the annals of history who can say this regarding his institute. That in my institute, whichever student you follow, you will be guided. Now you will always find that these students are failures. These students, they didn't work hard. These students, they could not make it. But this is that one institute where there's only one mu'allim and one teacher. And he himself was ummi. He couldn't read and he couldn't write. But that teacher who couldn't read and write, he's the professor of all professors. He's the teacher of all teachers. But this mu'allim, who was the teacher, who was sent as a teacher, they said he's not mu'allim, he's mu'allam, he has been taught. And what does it mean he has been taught? There's three meanings. One meaning is that they would say, وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ They would say other people assist him in making this Qur'an, meaning that the Jews, because he's ummi, he cannot read and write, how is he going to present a Qur'an before us? So who is teaching him? There are certain Jewish people who use their books and they teach him and he makes this Qur'an using whatever they tell him. This is one meaning. And the second meaning, وَقَالُوا أَسَاتِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ They say that this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he presents before us the stories of the previous prophets and the previous times. So, اِكْتَتَبَهَا When he used to go on his business trips to Sham, then in Sham, he would spend time with the priests of the people of the book. And these priests, they would teach him these stories of the people of the past. He has now come here and he is conveying these stories to us. And the third meaning is that, also, وَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً That thereafter, he dictates these incidents to his Sahaba in the morning and in the evening. Because in the early stages, what would happen is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would sit with the companions once in the morning, once in the evening. And whatever verses were revealed upon him, he would dictate them to the Sahaba and the Sahaba would write those verses down. So they said that it's not revelation. He was taught this on his business trips to Sham. And the third meaning is that there was a slave, a Christian slave, from the Banu Thaqif tribe, who used to live in Ta'if. So he used to visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam multiple times. So they began to say that, you know, this Christian slave, he knows about the Bible. So from the Bible, he teaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making this Quran. So Mu'allam, he is taught, meaning he is taught via one of these three methods or all of these methods. And he's Majnoon, he's insane. Why is he insane? Number one, he is saying that after we die and we are going to become bones and our bones are going to decay, he is saying there's going to be another life and we are going to be once again resurrected. So only an insane person can say such things. وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانِ The human says, أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ هَيَّ That is it that I am going to die and after I die, I am going to be resurrected alive again? You know, how is this possible? In Surah Yasin, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْإِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ When a disbeliever came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a bone and he crushed the bone and he became dust. And he said, who's going to give this life again after it's become dust? So they said that he's Majnoon, he's insane. Look at what he is saying. He's saying that after we die, someone is going to resurrect us again. There's going to be another life. And they would say he's Majnoon. Why? Because we believe that there are so many gods, 360 idols. One is controlling the rain and one is controlling food and one is controlling health. Every department has a different god. And suddenly he is saying there's only one Allah who is controlling everything. This is insanity. So they call him Mu'allam and they call him Majnoon. Mu'allamun Majnoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna kashiful azabi qaleelan, innakum a'idun. We shall alleviate the punishment for a little while, but you people will certainly return. What this means is that we will alleviate the punishment for a little while. This has two meanings. One meaning is that we will remove the punishment. When we afflict a punishment upon the disbelievers, we will remove it maybe for 1 year, 2 years. Why? So that this person, after this, he can either resort back to his own ways or he has an opportunity to accept Islam. So we will alleviate it for a short moment of time. But then another azab and punishment will come. And the second meaning is that we will alleviate this punishment from them for a short time, meaning until the time of death. Meaning until the time of death, there will be no punishment for them now. They can do what they want. And thereafter, they will face the severe punishment in Jahannam when they go into the hereafter. But Allah Ta'ala says that when we alleviate the punishment for a little while, innakum a'idun, you people will certainly return back to your shirk. This is definite. You've said that رَبَّ نَكْشِفْ عَنَّ الْعَذَابِ إِنَّا مُؤْمِنُونَ Oh Allah, remove the punishment, we'll become mu'minun and believers. But we are telling you, you're not going to become believers, you're going to return back to your shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends these verses by saying that يَوْمَ نَبْتِشُ الْبَتْشَةَ الْكُبْرَى إِنَّا مُنْتَقِمُونَ That if this is how you want to play with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember that إِنَّا مُنْتَقِمُونَ Surely, we will exact retribution. We are definitely going to take revenge and we are definitely going to punish you for the way that you are behaving with your Allah and for the fact that you are rejecting the messages of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when will this happen? يَوْمَ نَبْتِشُ الْبَتْشَةَ الْكُبْرَى The day when we shall seize them with a firm grip. According to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, يَوْمَ نَبْتِشُ الْبَتْشَةَ الْكُبْرَى refers to the Battle of Badr. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says that no, it refers to Qiyamah, that in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize them with a firm grip. And once He punishes them in Jahannam, then there will be no way they are going to be released from the fire of Jahannam. So whenever in our lives, when we are afflicted by any calamity, be it small or be it big, then at that time, we should use this as an opportunity for it to be an eye-opener for us. This is an opportunity that let me take stock of my life. Where am I going wrong? Am I carrying out all the faraid and the compulsory acts? Am I doing what Allah Ta'ala wants me to? Or is there things in my life which I am not supposed to be doing? Now when a person takes stock of his life, he'll know that I'm doing this wrong. So this is now the opportunity for you to do tawbah, for you to repent, and for you to mend your ways. When we see someone else going through difficulty, this is not our time to start judging them and saying that this is azab and punishment. This is a mistake some people make, that when someone is going through a difficult time, we say that he's going through azab and punishment. This is wrong. No. Regarding yourself, you have to think like this. And there's three options, or there's three possibilities. One is that you go through a difficult moment in your life, whatever it may be. Now at that time, if you are given the ability to endure sabr and patience, you endure sabr and you endure patience, then this means that this is a rahmah and a mercy from Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala, through this difficulty, is going to wipe away your sins. So all you have to do is do sabr and patience. You're going through a very severe illness. Do sabr, endure patience. Allah Ta'ala is wiping away your sins. This is a good sign. Number two is that you are not given the ability to do sabr, and you begin to complain. Now this is azab and punishment. And number three is that those people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, extremely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they go through difficulties, together with enduring patience, they do shukr and they are grateful to Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you could have inflicted upon me something far more greater and far more severe than this, but you only afflicted me with this small calamity. When Urba ibn Zubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, needed one of his legs to be amputated due to an illness. So one of his legs were cut off. And during those days, from his four sons, one of his sons were also killed. So he lost one leg and he lost one son. But at night he was in sajda. Somebody heard him speaking with Allah, and he was saying to Allah that, oh Allah, how kind are you? You gave me four very important limbs, two hands and two legs. From the four, you only took one away and you left the other three with me. And oh Allah, you gave me four sons. You could have taken all four away, but you only took away one and you left the other three with me. So this is the quality of the muqarrabin, the very close servants of Allah. That even during calamities, they are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they look at the bright side. That Allah has taken this small thing away from me, but look how much I still have. And the greatest gift is iman. So if Allah ta'ala takes everything away from you, you lose your wife, you lose your children, you lose your house, you lose your money, you're on the street, you've got nothing left, but you've still got your iman, and you've still got that connection with Allah, then you don't need to worry. Jannah is awaiting you. And if you have everything but you don't have iman, then you've got nothing. So this is a powerful lesson which we learn from these verses of Surah Ad-Dukhan. And the month of Ramadan is arriving. This is a golden opportunity for us, that in these next few days, we mend our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And we make our relationship with Allah Ta'ala so strong that no matter what we go through in life, we know that this is from my Allah. I am going to endure patience upon this. And by enduring patience, Allah Ta'ala will wipe away my sins. He will elevate my rank and status, and He will grant me much in the hereafter. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the ability to appreciate the beauty of the Quran. May He make us from those who recite the Quran abundantly, who understand the Quran, and who live their lives in accordance to the teachings of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.